You're listening to SBS News.
In 2018, scientists say the droughts were hotter and the floods wetter.
A powerful tsunami has crushed two towns in Indonesia.
3 days of mourning have been declared in Greece, where at least 74 people have been killed in fires.
The fire started from this side.
Thousands of residents are evacuating areas of Northern California.
Oh my God!
Residents shocked at the size of the fire fled in cars.
Michael Singh's 30 acres are home to one of just a dozen banana farms left on the Coffs Coast. The drought has hit him hard.
In the last couple of years, we've actually gone through a bit of bad weather and dry weather and the plant under stress.
Painting the clearest picture yet of the impact of climate change, the United Nations Climate Panel in October delivered a message of deep urgency. Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Chairman Ho Sung Lee said every half degree of warming matters.
Climate change is occurring already and affecting people, ecosystems and livelihood all around the world. Every degree of warming matters, and there's tremendous benefit in limiting it to a 1.5 degrees Celsius in terms of eradicating poverty as well as achieving sustainable development.
It is the degree of warming above pre-industrial levels. In a world already warmed to 1 degree Celsius above those levels, scientists mapped out a world as it would be under 1.5 degrees of warming and how that compared to 2 degrees of warming. World Meteorological Organization Secretary General Petteri Tallis says opting for 1.5 degrees would mean acting in 12 years to enact rapid, far-reaching and unprecedented changes in all aspects of society.
It's having impacts on human beings, ecosystems, all around the world, and we can still limit the warming to 1.5 degrees, but we should change many things how we run our everyday business today. And one of the major issues is that there would be 420 million people less suffering because of climate change if we would be able to limit the warming to 1.5 degree level. And we have certain areas in the world which are extremely sensitive. It's the small island states, Mediterranean region, and also sub-Saharan Africa, which are already suffering and will suffer the most in the future. With 2 degrees, we would have ice-free summer in the Arctic every year, and once per decade, but with 1.5, we would see it only once per 100 years.
Not content to leave the task in the hands of politicians, scientists also appealed to individuals to make better consumer choices. A member of the UN Climate Panel, scientist Deborah Roberts, says the diet, transport and energy consumption choices have an impact.
Transitions that the world needs to go through in terms of energy, land, cities and industry. And that's a really empowering message because it means each one of us as individuals can make choices about the energy we use to live through our lives, about dietary choices that impact on land use. It tells us that we can change the way we interact with the world's cities through the transport we choose to go to work and to play. It also talks to us that we have power as consumers in terms of directing where industry goes and the kind of goods it manufactures. So overall, a real call to action.
Celebrity climate campaigners such as actor and former politician Arnold Schwarzenegger got behind the message.
As I've said earlier, I stopped eating meat because raising cattle, livestock, creates more pollution than all the transportation combined, because we are just using so much energy to get this cattle to grow up and to be slaughtered then. So, I mean, it maybe tastes delicious, but I think we should think right then and there before we eat about the world and about the pollution. And so I discontinued eating meat 4 days a week.
The impacts of climate change are already being felt most acutely in the low-lying Pacific Islands, vulnerable to rising sea levels. Tuvalu Prime Minister Anele Sopoaga visited Australia in December, describing climate change as the single biggest threat facing the Pacific Islands.
We are slowly being inundated by seawater. It is very evident that climate change represents the single greatest threat to the livelihoods of the people living on low-lying vulnerable island countries, their security, long-term sustainability, and well-being. And it is clear from these records that the sea is rising around Tuvalu.
Vanuatu's Foreign Minister Ralph Regenvanu says his country lost almost two-thirds of its economy after the impact of a recent Category 5 cyclone. Addressing world leaders at December's United Nations climate talks in Poland, he said what he called high-ambition policy is the only real option.
The IPCC Special Report on Global Warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius confirms the absolute and urgent necessity of limiting the global temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius. Anything beyond this amplifies the already unbearable exposure of my people to further climate-related impacts on their lives. It pains me deeply to have watched the people of the United States and other developed countries across the globe suffering the devastating impacts of climate-induced tragedies, while their professional negotiators are here at COP24 putting red lines through any mention of loss and damage in the Paris guidelines. It frustrates me to see those countries historically responsible for climate change refusing to operationalise the legal obligations to assist developing countries.
Global emissions data shows after 3 years of stable emissions activity, the numbers were on the rise for the second year in a row in 2018. By the year's end, greenhouse gas levels were forecast to rise 2.7% to reach a record high of more than 37 billion tonnes. A surge in the use of fossil fuels, such as coal, is behind the rise. Overall, the world is not on track to meet the Paris target of staying below 2 degrees of global warming. The Global Carbon Project's PEP Canada says a group of 19 nations have reduced emissions in the decade to 2017, but Australia is not among them.
But the reality is that there are only 19 countries which are completely on a different track from the rest of the world. A track on CO2 emissions going down while GDP, economic growth, going up. And so in there, in terms of big players, are United States and the UK. Altogether, these 19 are responsible for 20% of the global emissions. But the rest of the countries, either their emissions are going up or if emissions are going down, it's because the economy is not doing well.
In Australia, students have tired of waiting for politicians to act on climate change. Too young to vote, but aware time is running out, 15,000 students skip school to protest. One of the organisers, Jean Hinchcliffe, says the issue is too big to ignore.
I think it says, really, that students aren't apathetic. We're not just teenagers who don't really care about the world. We do care. We have opinions.
A German insurer reported financial losses from natural disasters in 2017 came to $330 billion. In the United States alone, despite the good news in the Globe and Carbon Project's report, climate change is forecast to shrink the country's economy by 10% by the end of the century. A report released by the World Health Organization found meeting the goals of the 2015 Paris Agreement could save about 1 million lives a year worldwide by 2040, just through air pollution reductions. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, or Wooshka.